I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. This is the last in our series on the armor of God. Let's hear God's word, Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Let us pray together. Lord, may you take the words of Scripture. May you apply them to our hearts this evening. May we be conscious that if this is the person you want us to become, then the power to change lives, including our own, would be the fruit of your work in our lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. This is a extraordinary passage. It sums up what our lives should be. To miss this would miss our calling. We would be less than the soldier that we should be. Each one of us this evening have a choice to make. Not only do we put on the armor of God, but what sort of soldier will we be when we're wearing that armor? Each of those pieces that we're to put in place have a particular importance in our lives. We have looked at what that importance is over the last number of months. You will see how each piece of armor has a strategic role to play in equipping you to not only defend yourself against the enemy's onslaught, but also then to go on the offensive with the weapons that he has given us. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I have no question that many people want to put on those individual pieces of armor. However, this final part of the section determines the type of soldier you will be. It will move some people from simply enlisting in God's army to being the equivalent of soldiers that are the elite, special forces, those whose character and disposition can be very different than an ordinary soldier. And we know from observing in the church generally that that is the case. We know the difference between soldiers. We know the difference between Christians. There are those who have professed the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. There are those who speak the language. They can say the right things, but they do not possess some of the godly qualities that you and I read about in Scripture. Somehow that seems to evade them. They lack the fruits of the Holy Spirit. They may indeed and no doubt are saved, but they're not maturing in God. They're not developing. They're not growing. In fact, they are what Paul himself would consider caught up with the milk of the word and really would have needed to progress to be eating meat, to be nourished, to develop. So when they go out onto the battlefield, they are particularly vulnerable. They may have all the pieces of armor in place. They may have some of the pieces of armor in place. But they do not have the disposition of a soldier. It's what distinguishes soldiers in battle. And one of those areas is our prayer life. The prayer life, not that is seen, but unseen. Not simply because someone attends a prayer meeting, but someone develops a disposition of prayer. They actually develop praying in the Spirit as a way of life. It's how they operate. Therefore, when they go out into battle, they're going out with the disposition of a soldier who has a relationship with God. They know not only the intensity of the battle that is ensuing, but the intense relationship that they possess with God through the work of the Spirit. And here we have the passage that reminds us that all these things fit together, but are brought together effectively by a prayerful life. And pray in the Spirit. Not simply just pray, but pray in the Spirit. Not simply going through a repetition of words, or repeating the Lord's Prayer, or sitting down in our quiet times and talking to God. We are compelled, encouraged here, that there is a prayerfulness which is in the Spirit. We are to pray in the Spirit. Now, in certain theological circles, people will suggest that praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. I don't think that that's the meaning of this text, though I don't think it excludes it. I think the meaning is more obvious than that, and praying in the Spirit may include that. And I would suggest to you, though I don't want to develop this evening, that there's a slight difference, and we may disagree on this slightly. I take a midpoint on this, which is that I believe that the primary gift of tongues as a revelatory gift in the early church may have ceased. But I do believe that a secondary application of tongues still exists. And I would suggest, though it's not particularly relevant to the text, though it may include it, that when Paul says that he thanks God that he speaks more in tongues than them all, but yet in the church, he would rather prophesy, he would rather speak intelligible words that people understand. And I think in many senses, Paul was saying that there can be a praying in the Spirit which operates outside of the church and is privately engaged. And so he thanks God that he can speak more in tongues than them all, but he chooses to do so often in the privacy of his walk with God and not in the church itself. And whilst this passage may seem somewhat confusing, he seems to be drawing a distinction between these two applications of talking to God, glorifying God, speaking to God in tongues. So, whilst this passage may not necessarily primarily be referring to that, it is not excluding it. And Paul himself may also, in his own life, be including that particular experience as part of this overall experience. But it's not limited to that. And the reason it's not limited to that is because it may not include everybody in it. It may be that some people have that particular gift and may pray in tongues in the privacy of their own home as an act of prayerfulness in the Spirit, but it would not be everyone's gift. What Paul is suggesting here is that there is a praying in the Spirit which is accessible to all, and that everybody can engage in, and that every soldier himself must engage in. It becomes their disposition and character. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Now, how will you know that you're praying in the Spirit? Well, you will know because you pray on all occasions. It becomes a very facet of your existence. It becomes the internal communication to God. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to plan it, though you may include planning in it. In the same way that if you have a relationship with a friend, you may plan to go out for a meal together. You may plan to go out to see a movie together. You may plan to go for a drive together, to go on a holiday together, but you do not plan your friendship like that. Your friendship is based on your communication, on your relationship. You do not have to plan to speak to them. If you're sitting in the house at night or you're sitting in a cafe, your conversation becomes natural. On the occasions that you meet, you begin to commune. Now, if we're in the presence of God at all times and God is with us on all occasions, then it should be natural to pray on all occasions. It should be natural to commune, to talk to God, to speak to Him throughout the day, to be in constant contact with Him. You and I can develop that type of relationship with God. You and I can be in that relationship with Him. Of where throughout the whole day, regardless of what is happening, and maybe because of some of the things that are happening, we're in constant contact with them. Could be driving the car, could be doing some housework, could be in the office, could be walking, could be talking, could be communing with someone else and still communing with God at the same time as you're seeking God's discernment in a situation. You're in constant contact. You're listening. You're being guided by the Spirit. You're being led by the Spirit because this is a war and you need to hear from Him on all occasions. And so you're praying to Him on all occasions. If your prayer life has dried up, if you're not communing with God, if you're not naturally speaking to Him, then you're not praying in the Spirit. You're not being guided by the Spirit. You're not being led by the Spirit. You're not being empowered by the Spirit. If you have to force yourself to talk to God, then you're out of step with Him. This becomes a component of who we are in God. We pray on all occasions because we're living in the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is empowering us and filling us. Pray on the Spirit on all occasions. And here's an interesting facet of this prayerful life in the Spirit. And with all kinds of prayers and requests. With all kinds of prayers and requests. Now we've heard from Sunday school days that, you know, there are prayers of petition, confession, thanksgiving, adoration. And one of the things that we tend to do is that we believe, though not necessarily has to be done this way, that every prayer should contain some facet or element of that. And I don't doubt that for one moment, because these are good and helpful reminders of what our disposition from God should be. We should have a heart of gratitude. We should have a heart of thankfulness. We should want to petition our Father. We should want to praise and adore our Heavenly Creator. We should want to intercede on behalf of others, make specific requests. Yet prayerful life in the Spirit may mean that we are particularly sensitive on occasions which type of prayer we should use. And here, I think that there's an inclination, a move towards an understanding of praying in the Spirit like that. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. So for those that do pray in tongues, it might be for those that have that particular gift that in the privacy of their own home, under the movement of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit moving upon them, they may engage in that gift. Some people have asked me over the years, what would be the purpose of engaging in speaking in tongues if you yourself do not understand what you're praying? I suppose if I'm given a theological explanation for that, it would be this. There are times when the Spirit moves us in a particular way. For example, when the Spirit is moving upon us and in prayerfulness, we can receive a burden from God. It could be a burden about a particular person. It could be a burden about a particular situation. And we know according to Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit intercedes for us with moanings and groanings too deep to be uttered. Now that's not speaking in tongues. At least I don't think it is. But that's only my opinion. What I do think that that suggests is that there are times in our lives when we are so overwhelmed by the work of the Spirit, so burdened about a particular situation, that sometimes in our prayers, the Holy Spirit begins to intercede. The Holy Spirit begins to talk to the Father. The Holy Spirit begins to move us in prayerfulness. And sometimes, not even with words, moanings and groanings too deep to be uttered, a disposition before God in prayerfulness that intercedes with the Father. Now, praying in the Spirit on those occasions like that can effectively change things. Because if it's God talking to God, if it is a burden of the Spirit praying through you because you're an open receptacle for the movement of God in your life, then things can happen as the Spirit moves. Equally, I think, though it's slightly conjectural, but I think when Paul is talking about the fact of that he speaks in tongues more than them all, that he may indeed use this gift privately, because when he comes to the church, he would rather speak intelligible words, that what Paul is saying here is that there are occasions, again, moved by the Holy Spirit, that he would be open to using a language which he himself does not understand, but which the Spirit understands. And as the Spirit communicates through the use of that language, it bypasses the natural restrictions of the language that we have learned, which can often be a hindrance to communicate with God. Because there are times when we cannot find the right word. There are times when we are incapable of bypassing our own limitations, but the Spirit may take up a language that can be used simply to do that. Now, I would suggest that if people have been gifted in that way, that that may be an example of why the Spirit would move on them in such a manner. But the point is this, that even if we do not speak in tongues, what is Paul talking about here when he says to use the various kinds of prayers, the types of prayers? You see, the difficulty may be that if we're not sensitive to the Spirit, we won't know what to pray. We won't know what type of prayer to make. Perhaps in the war that you're engaged in. Somehow you have developed a spirit of ingratitude. Somehow, in the middle of the conflict that you've been engaged in the middle of the spiritual war, and you're attempting to do great exploits for God, you've been sharing your faith, you have been attempting to live honorably before Him, but something has happened. And you have become resentful about a situation. And the devil begins to chip away at you. He begins to sow a root of bitterness. And you become full of ingratitude about God, about life, about other people. Now, in your prayerfulness, you may simply just do your usual thing. You may confess your sin. You may adore God. You may petition on behalf of certain situations and on behalf of others. But that's not what the Spirit is wanting you to do. The Spirit is not wanting you to engage in a shopping list of requests at that point in time. But because the war has been waged against you, and because the enemy has fired a fiery dart that is hitting your shield with the potential of penetrating it, or maybe you're not using the shield of faith as you should, and a fiery dart of resentment and bitterness has hit your life, at the moment, what does the Spirit need to do in order to rectify that? The Spirit needs you to use a prayer of thankfulness, because that is your weapon against ingratitude. And when you are sensitive to the work of the Spirit in your life, you will know which of those prayers is strategically important for you at that time. And there may be some days and some moments that that's all you pray. You are full of gratitude. You're full of thanksgiving to God. The Spirit is moving upon you because He needs to overcome the ingratitude that has trapped your heart. Those who pray in the Spirit will use all kinds of prayers as they apply to a situation at that moment, inspired by God. They will use the appropriate prayer to deal with that very situation that they find themselves in. But only those walking and being led by the Spirit will know which prayer to use. In the same way that a good soldier knows what part of the equipment to use at the right time and at the right moment. It's not just about being trained for war, it's about knowing how to use our weapons in a war. And you and I have that relationship with the Spirit that should make us sensitive to know which prayers are applicable at which moments. Rather than this just blanket prayer of praying anything and everything that we normally pray or would usually pray to God, we pray very specifically. It could be that the Spirit is reminding us of our need of confession on a particular day. Then we confess to God. We spend our time in that situation wrestling with that and with the accompanied results of that. It could be that we have sinned in our lives. We need to repent of that. We need a remedy for that. But at that moment, the devil then is using that opportunity to wreck us with guilt. We need to pray through our confession, and we need to remind ourselves of the teaching of Scripture that there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. But led by the Spirit of God, we engage in our confessions and we apply the Scriptures that talk about our remedy, and we do war against the enemy. We pray in the Spirit. It could be that someone is involved in a situation, and the Spirit moves upon us to make us aware of the need of prayer to petition at that point, to intercede on behalf of others. It's not about thanksgiving at that moment. It's not about confessing your sin. It's about joining with someone else in intercession, praying in the Spirit for them. They might not even know that you're the one that's praying for them. But the body is joined together by the work of the Spirit, and He may require you at that moment to pray a particular prayer which will effectively change and transform a situation. Listen to the Spirit. The body depends upon that. The glory of God requires it. When was the last time you were woken up to pray for somebody? When was the last time in the Spirit that you suddenly had a burden about someone else? Not about you anymore. Not about your family. It's not about God blessing we, Jenny. It's about God intervening in a situation, in someone's life. And God takes up a situation, reveals it to us in a burden of prayer, and we begin to intercede on behalf of someone else. I want to thank God for the times that people did that for me. I'm still here because of some of those prayers. I'm still in the ministry because of some of those prayers. And there are people you wouldn't even imagine. One man in particular, whom no one else knew much about, effectively interceded and petitioned for me for years. That guy walked into my life on many occasions with a word from God. I trusted him in the Spirit. And there were nights and moments he would have prayed. And I've learned to pray like him. I've learned to try to be discerning to the Spirit in the same way. I don't see being woken as an inconvenience. I don't see being alert like that at night, woken from your sleep with a burden on your heart as an inconvenience. It's an act of the Spirit. But if we're not praying in the Spirit, we'll miss those moments. If we can't discern between prayers and all kinds of prayers, then we'll not know which prayer to use. Why would you use your shield when you need your helmet? Why would you show your breastplate of righteousness to the world when you need a sword? What soldier doesn't know how to use what he's been given? And the same is true of our prayer life. We have at our disposal all kinds of prayers. Learn which to use. Learn why to use it. Learn how to use it. And the damage that's done to the kingdom of darkness is phenomenal. He cannot defend against it. Because the Spirit makes you aware of what needs to be said and done. Can you see why this is so important? It distinguishes an ordinary soldier from a special soldier. And who would you trust in battle? Who do you like to be beside when the heat is on, when the war is raging? Those who have experience of conflict. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Be alert. Be watchful. See, that's important, isn't it? We're not fighting the same war every day. We don't do the same strategies of warfare day after day. You see, those trained in conflict will be alert to what is happening on the battlefield. The enemy may change tactics. And if we're still deploying the same defenses against their attack, and their attack has shifted and moved on, then we will not know that we're to defend ourselves in a very different way. But those who are alert know how things are changing. They are discerning the changes. You and I are connected in a relationship together through the work of the Spirit. It is important that you not only know what's going on in your life, but you're alert to what's going on together in the fellowship of God's people. We need to know what the enemy is seeking to do to try to disrupt us, his people, or disrupt you as a brother and sister in Christ. We are to be alert for the changes in our own lives, in that when the war gets intense, that we are dealing effectively with the weapons that we have. When the enemy, say, has come against us with a spirit of ingratitude, we have prayers of thankfulness, and we have been able to defend ourselves against developing a spirit of ingratitude. But maybe Satan has attempted something different in 5 or 6 months' time. His strategy has changed, and that's why we are to be aware of the devil's schemes. He knows that that method has been ineffective. You have not become a person of ingratitude. But maybe you've become a person of condemnation and judgment. You've become critical of other people. Now, your prayerfulness needs to reflect that change of strategy from the enemy. You begin to pray prayers of confession, knowing and being aware of the fact that this is where a weakness may be in your life. And we are not to give the devil a foothold. Now, we need to be discerning as to where he may try to find that leverage in our lives. But the undiscerning do not move with that level of watchfulness. They're not alert to what is happening in the battlefield around them. Neither are they aware of what's happening in the lives of others. They do not see how the enemy could be trying to trip them up, how he could be placing temptations in their way. And if we're not discerning, we won't know how to help defend them against the enemy's attack. If we are too self-obsessed, we miss how to defend fellow soldiers. Be alert to what the enemy is seeking to do in your life, in other people's lives, and in the life of the fellowship. So you will know that you're praying in the Spirit when you are discerning of which prayers to use, when you're praying on a regular basis, and when you're alert to how the enemy has shifted, and that you indeed pray for all the saints. There is a universality in our prayers that is a work of the Spirit. There are times when you will pray for people you don't know as if they were your closest friend. You don't know why, but the Spirit knows. There will be times you're praying for missionaries that you've never read about. But you'll be praying with an intensity for them as the saints of God, all the saints. And that's an aspect of the Spirit's work. In fact, it's an example of your alertness to the Spirit's activity in your life, to a discernment of what the Spirit is seeking to do. Do you know there are people who have testified to the fact that they were delivered at a certain time on the mission field, their lives saved from the attack of persecutors, only to find out that some bit of fellowship somewhere in another part of the world were praying for them at that particular time and for that specific reason. Isn't the Spirit wonderful? that He would use us all to pray for each other, even though we don't know each other, as well as for the ones that we do know. And lastly, He says, I want you to pray specifically for me. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That every word you had was given to you. Some people have plenty to say, but it's not from God. And it's quite often just their flesh speaking. It's their brokenness. But when God speaks through us, things happen. Hearing from God is what Paul wanted. Pray that God would give me the words. Yeah, but sure, you have thousands of words in the Bible, Paul. Yeah, but I want the specific words from God for this occasion. I want to do it fearlessly. I want to do it boldly. I want to do it biblically. But I want to do it filled with the Spirit. I want every word to count. I want every word to make a difference. I've no time for idle words. I've no time for critical words, for judgmental words, for selfish words, for ingratitude. I want to live my life before God, wearing His armor every day, filled with the Spirit and praying in the Spirit. I want to listen to Him. I want to know how to pray. I want to know what type of prayers to pray. On occasions, I may pray in ways that are mysterious to human beings. Certainly in ways that are peculiar to the world. I want to be burdened by the Spirit in prayer so that I intercede with moanings and groanings too deep to be uttered. I want to be woken at the night to pray for people that I don't even know. I want to engage with you as if you're standing beside me. I want natural words, supernaturally constructed. I want to be in the Spirit on all occasions. I want to be praying. I want this to be an adventure of faith. I want this to be a war that's worth winning. I want to go out there and defend other troops by using the weapons together. I want to glorify you in this campaign for your glory. Life will be tough. Things will get rough. Prayers may not be answered in the way that I would have imagined. Life may not work according to the script that I had written. The future still may be uncertain, the pain of the past all too apparent. But if I am in the Spirit, I have everything that I need and more. Therefore, when I talk to you every day, I am so in tune with you that I know which prayers to use as you move me. Is that our life? You could be full of theology and know nothing about God. I could take you to people. But that doesn't impress God. What impresses God is a one who is in touch with Him, because they have been touched by Him. They are moved by Him. They become like Him. And they pour out their life because of Him, filled with the Spirit, wearing the full armor of God, is a soldier that has joined the special forces. And we all are called to
be part of that elite truth, campaigning for God's glory in a war that we will win. Let us pray.
Father, tonight, we don't know how severe the battle may be on the battlefield for some, but we are together as God's people. We're together tonight asking that we move in the Spirit. That, Lord, we are joined together as one body, with one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That as we seek to pray, petition, give thanks, that we'll know exactly which of those prayers is the one that we should be using. Not just for us tonight, but for the people that we're burdened over. Lord, that we would know exactly the Spirit moving in intercession. That we would allow ourselves to be burdened. That would even produce physical effects. That we're so overwhelmed that we allow the Spirit in full dependence upon Him to commune with His Father on behalf of others and sometimes even on behalf of ourselves. Lord, may we continue to praise You as we're ministered to, because we know that You write the script. And because You write the script, You know our beginning and our end. In Jesus' precious name we pray.